LunaticMania.com.
He's an angry man that has a love-hate relationship with science fiction. His beverage of choice is Rageahol, and when he's irate. Sci-Fi Melody presents Rage Master Rips a Clip.
For those of you who can, remember back in school when you were being chased by a bully or a group of them? Or perhaps you can remember running from an animal or some other threat. If none of those examples work, recall what they told you to do in school concerning tornado safety or fire drills. After you escaped danger within your immediate proximity and linked up with friends or classmates, what were you supposed to do? Or what would you do after fleeing a building with a crazy shooter, thank you very much, NRA? If you answered, stop and take a breather even though the threat is still looming, you are either messing with me or need a brain exam! Get away from the burning building, bully, tornado, shooter, or whatever! Keep running! Run until you're so far away the danger is as far away as yesterday! If you aren't going to fight, then take flight! Why stunt a natural developed sense of survival? If you agree with this, then by definition you must agree with my problem today. Although it is systemic, this clip, I will aim my rage at today's show, Stranger Things Season 2. I know, but Stranger Things is so good and well-written. Generally, I agree. However, this clip was feces wrapped in barf. In Season 2, Chapter 8, The Mind Flayer, we find Hopper, Joyce, and Joyce's boyfriend, Bob, played by Samwise Gamgee, fleeing the Hawkins Laboratory because monsters from the Upside Down have broken through the portal and invaded the hallways and killed many people. Thanks to the help of the head doctor, played by Bad Guy Burke from Aliens, Bob Wise is able to avoid the monsters and escape into the lobby where Joyce and Hopper are waiting for him, escape truck still parked and engine cold with keys not in the ignition. After closing the flimsy-looking fake wood door to the lobby, Bob Gamgee takes a break and looks at Joyce with a, I made it, now let me just stand here in front of the door where the deadly monster is opposite and catch my breath. As my wife and I watched this, her Miss Cleo and my John Edwards prediction powers kicked in and told us he might not make it. Once again, our powers prevailed as the monster broke through the paper door and ate him alive whilst Joyce stood shocked and Hopper decided that that was the moment to go get the truck. Writing gold. Look, I understand. This show is nothing but a giant pop culture reference, homage to the 80s, mixed with a decent sci-fi horror story. You know what? That's okay, because it generally works. Because they set the film in the 80s, it isn't all that cliche. However, do we really need to borrow everything from that time? The staple comes from the horror movies, particularly the slashers. The victim gets out of the way and then waits in the room thinking, I made it safe, and then the slasher breaks through the door, kills them, blah, 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 blah. It was stupid back then, and it's even worse now because it's tired. Listen, Duffers, your idea works given that you're trying to set it in the 80s. An homage works best when the time has passed and we are merely saluting some good thing from the era gone by. For example, playing taps for the fallen on Memorial Day, or an artist borrowing a previous artist's style to make something new whilst respecting the forerunners of modern style. Notice why he said, saluting good things. People thought the trope of the just escape with standing around a die victim was stupid back then. How is borrowing it now any good? Why not add a new spin by having him, I don't know, get killed whilst running? It's less infuriating. Even my wife hated that, and she isn't half the rager I am. Bottom line for you aspiring writers, there are two lessons to be learned here. First, if you're going to make an homage piece, either pull a Spielberg or set the story in an era which that style existed. Second, when you do that, or even if you don't, stop reusing bad writing techniques! This is akin to, hey, adding this ingredient to the food wasn't liked by anyone, but let's try it again. We can try to mask it with better dishes. You're not considered a genius, but instead a regressive Luddite who's afraid to do anything new. I'd rather watch something new and suck, or a dog crap down its owner's mouth, than see the same old thing that sucked being tried now. Oh, and by the way, if your thought is that I can't bash Stranger Things, then get thicker skin. It's a TV show. If you can't take criticism about entertainment that you didn't even make, then find something better to worry about in your life. I can't stress this enough. As someone who once did this, grow up. If you take umbrage every time someone criticizes what you like in entertainment, then I suggest your priorities are messed up. Get mad about things that matter, like human trafficking, corporate corruption, racism, and the executive orange who endorses it, and not whether or not someone liked the Dark Knight trilogy. If you like this writing trope, then fine. One man's trash is another man's treasure and vice versa. However, just recognize it sucks. I like a lot of things that everyone else hates, but I acknowledge it sucks. That's okay. Just because the Duffers or Spielberg or even Joss Whedon did something doesn't make it great. Writing a bad trope is bad no matter who wrote it. In conclusion for this idea, it sucked when they wrote it. It sucks when John Carpenter writes it. It sucks when Wes Craven wrote it. It sucks when The Beard writes it. It sucks when Disney writes it. It sucks if I write it. And it'll suck if you write it. I'm the Rage Master. Consider this clip ripped.
RavingLunaticMania.com